It's a pleasure to be with you folks again on Thursday evening for our Heart of Freedom meditation. And so just an invitation in the next minute or two to kind of settle in, get comfortable, and just to take this opportunity to set aside the cares and preoccupations of the day, and to bring the focus of our attention more fully into what's happening in the life of the body in this moment. I'm thinking about the traditional instructions from the time of the Buddha, where their invitation was to go to sit at the foot of a tree in a quiet place and to let go of cares about the world and to hold the intention of mindful presence, letting presence be here in front of us. And to take it into the experience of contact, to notice the body sitting, present with our connection with the earth, through these points of contact, we can feel our earth-like nature. And feel the bony structure of the sitting bones. It's a nice starting object, and then to feel the structure of the skeleton of the body, holding it upright, and to check and see if that indeed is upright and alert. So letting the vertebrae of the back be adjusted and balanced. Sometimes I find it helpful to let the body sway back and forth a little bit to find balance points and to notice if there's any unnecessary tightness or holding or tension. And so to just bring in an intention both of uprightness and also ease, so there can be a kind of releasing, relaxing within the frame of this upright structure. So there's that balance. Yeah, and right at the beginning, I'd like to just remind us of the intention of kindness that goes along with being present. This practice of mindfulness is free of judgment. In the freedom of judgment, or the freedom from judgment, there is a natural kindness, a natural acceptance of things just as they are. So please practice with that as a foundation. And then I'd like to invite us to do a chant. And this is just an invitation to bring our energies together with the same sound at the same time. We aren't going to be able to hear everybody in the group because it doesn't really work with this format. But please know that we're doing it together. So let's take a long, slow, deep breath and just let that experience of breathing be an invitation to softening, release, letting go. So that's with the first breath. And then the second breath, let's just let the sound om emerge, and we'll chant that for a minute or so. Om. So I'd like to invite us to reflect on where we find refuge. Many people are finding our current circumstances in our country and our life to be full of challenges, difficulties, and so it's important to remember where it is that we can find refuge in life. And in this practice, the invitation is to look within and discover our own Buddha nature, our own capacity to be awake with that kind intention that I was just talking about. There's this the seed of that potential that exists in all human hearts, and we can cultivate it with this practice. So taking refuge in that, the capacity to be awake, and to take refuge in the truth, such a precious commodity, not to be taken for granted in our communities, in our country. Taking refuge in the direct experience of the truth that we can discover from our own exploration and investigation. And taking refuge in the Sangha, the community of connection, of interbeing. This community that's gathered here this evening, we mutually support each other in this practice, and remembering our interbeing and connection with all of life, that we're part of the fabric of something much bigger. And with that as the foundation, you can do this ancient practice of attending to the breath as our point of cultivation, the cultivation of this Buddha nature, this examination of the truth, this invitation to feel our interbeing, our interconnectedness right here with this breath. It all comes together in this moment. So please, with a gentleness and a curiosity, explore how this body is breathing in this moment, how it's physically experiencing this interchange of gases that support life. It knows how to selectively take in oxygen through the lungs and exchange it for carbon dioxide. It's this incredible process that's happening that supports this body, and it connects us with life on the planet, the green plants and algae that produce this oxygen. And then we give them back carbon dioxide. And we get to be fully present for that experience. And sometimes, often, in fact, the momentum of conditioning in our consciousness, in our minds, is wanting to take us off on, in different tangents, in different directions. And so the breath acts as a reminder of the truth. What's actually happening in this moment? And it isn't about stopping anything. It's not about trying to stop thinking. It's just to recognize that that actually, if I'm identified and lost in thought, then I'm really missing this moment, this chance to be fully alive, fully present. And so, with compassion, the breath invites us back out of delusion, out of the potential for suffering, into refuge. This moment, this experience of rising and falling, expanding and contracting, where we can stay connected to our hearts, to our capacity for love and kindness. Yeah, it's all right here with this breath. This is the practice of coming home to the breath, coming home to the truth, to the way things are in this moment, whether it's pleasant, whether it's unpleasant or not yet decided or neutral. As we return, as we stay present with the ever-changing nature of the breath and the body and the mental and emotional states that pass through, we deepen our capacity to connect with our humanness, with the place in us that's the deepest part of who we are and connects us with all beings. And so please trust whatever state is happening in this moment, that it is just what's needed, really, to connect with humanity in this moment. This is part of our shared human experience. So we can receive the invitation that the breath offers us to awaken to this. So open, like to just offer a minute or two of checking in once again with the body, with the sitting, and to notice if there's any places in the physical experience that would like to mindfully stretch or move a little bit. So, and just with mercy and self-compassion, offering a little stretch or move, if that's helpful, just to give yourself some relief. And just gradually coming back to relative stillness, back to sitting. It feels particularly poignant to me this evening to be sitting here with all of you and to be practicing in this way, and taking refuge, and to have this sense of the incredible turmoil and pain and suffering that's happening in the world. Of course, there's always pain and suffering in the world, but the particular flavor and kind so disruptive that's happening in our world. So, yeah, I just find it incredibly powerful to sit and have this time to come together to remember how we can stay connected with ourselves and our hearts through these big processes that are unfolding in our culture. I'd like to give us a chance to do some checking in. But before we do the check-in, I'd like to share just a few words of wisdom. The first is from Martin Luther King Jr. He is really talking about a mutual liberation that needs to happen in our culture, in the world. That really, that's what our work in this practice is about. It's about mutual liberation. So he said that there's an inescapable network of mutuality, an inescapable network of mutuality. Those of us who happen to be dominant culture, gender, or white, or whatever the experience of dominant culture is, are caught in the same net of interdependence as those whose lives are affected by the ravages of racism and violence and cruelty and death. We experience a different side of the equation, but our humanity is greatly diminished by the disease of racism and white supremacy. So it's imperative for us to look and see, to call it out, to see it in ourselves and in the world, and to find ways to heal collectively. So it isn't about guilt, it's about healing. It's about freedom, and it's about the understanding that we're in this together, that we're mutually interdependent. And then I'd like to share some words from an essay by Wendell Berry. And he wrote this back in 1970. It's called The Hidden Wound. And in it he said, racism involves an emotional dynamic that has disordered the heart both of society as a whole and every person in the society. I want to know as fully and exactly as I can what the wound is and how much I am suffering from it. And I want to be cured. I want to be free of the wound myself, and I don't want to pass it on to my children. There's an emotional dynamic that has disordered the heart both of society as a whole and every person in society. And I want to know as fully and exactly as I can what the wound is and how much I'm suffering from it. And I want to be cured, and I want to be free of the wound myself, and I don't want to wound others and pass it on. So this practice is about turning towards suffering. And so one of the Mahadukas of our time is racism. And there's lots of emotions that come up with turning towards suffering. So that's what we'll be focusing on this evening, is our practice of working with difficult emotional states. So that's what I would like to share for starters, is just that reflection on how we are interconnected, that we're in this together. And if we think that we aren't suffering because of the Mahadukha of racism, then we're in denial, that we're experiencing delusion. Yeah. So this is what is most up for me this evening, is just reflecting on that suffering and bringing the capacity of mindful presence, compassion to these difficult times. So I'd like to open it up for sharing. If there's any sharing that you'd like to do, if you'd like to indicate by just waving your hand. And then in the sharing circle, what we do is, say our name, and then to speak from your heart about what's most alive for you. And then when you're finished, to bow and to make room and space so that it's just a brief offering of sharing. So anybody like to take an opportunity to share? Yes. Adi, Sue. And I think you'll need to. Yeah, there you go. Yes, Kathy. Yes, Dave. Yeah, it's Karen. I think the mute is still on. Yeah. So this evening, I wanted to invite us to reflect on working with difficult emotional states with mindfulness, because it seemed to me that that could be helpful at this time. And if that isn't your experience, please note that it doesn't have to be a difficult emotional state. It could be whatever emotional state. It's skillful and helpful to turn towards it with mindfulness. And so please feel included in this invitation. Pema Chodron said, it's very helpful to realize or be mindful that the emotions we have, the negativity, the positivity, are exactly what we need to be fully human, fully aware, fully alive. So the invitation with practice is to open to emotions. Nothing more, nothing less, really. It's what it comes down to, is open to our experience, to our humanness. And as we do that, we, as I was suggesting during the guided portion of the meditation, that we enter into our inner being, our interconnectedness, and where it really is us. And if there is suffering in the world, of course we want to move to reduce it, to liberate people from that. And so working with difficult or strong emotional states is often one of the most difficult things to do within our practice, to bring mindfulness. And So we need to be gentle and accepting with ourselves, and understand the magnitude of the endeavor that we're working with, to try to be present and stay open. Because there can be a heavy load of conditioning, of momentum. And there can also be trauma, which is important to give extra careful attention to, and to make sure that we have the kind of supports and resources that we're in touch with, if we know that we're dealing with trauma, so that when we open to it, that we aren't doing something inadvertently to kind of re-traumatize. So it's important to be careful with that, to be mindful of what our needs are for opening to emotions. So it's done with wisdom, it's done with compassion. One of the things that makes these difficult emotional states, like anger, rage, guilt, shame, terror, so difficult, is that they often come with a kind of hallucinogenic quality, kind of an insistence on being more real. They kind of tend to hijack our brain and seduce us into believing their reality, their view, their take on things is real or true. And they often make us believe that they're going to last forever. And so working with them, is challenging in and of just those qualities of being able to stay present and not get pulled in or pulled down. Sometimes it feels like being pulled down underneath something that kind of consumes us when it's really strong.